be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Welcome to Ever Beyond. It is the 20th of April, 420. It is the day before the Grand Cross. It is All Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, everbeyondradio.com. We're all here. Hello, everybody. Well, it's been another... it's been an absolutely fantastic day here in Scotland. You know, I'm always moaning about the weather, and today I have no complaints. The only complaint I have is my shoulder's stiff because I was doing a lot of digging the last couple of days. So I've been digging up my garden and preparing it for the seeds and all of this business. So it's been a very gorgeous day, and I've been out on my bicycle and walking around the fields and walking barefoot and grounding myself up. I hope that everybody's had the opportunity to have a bit of rest or a bit of grounding out space or some kind of me time, because it's getting a bit strange. It's getting more and more intense with people are getting more, you know, I've been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's been building up and building up and building up. Hopefully this is the neck of the bottle. This is what everybody's been building up to. This is the point of the funnel, the swirly bit at the bottom. Oh, I can't, I'm just trying to stiff my back. We're joined tonight, first of all, by Nancy Hopkins, and hopefully you come back from your wee break. Are you there, Nancy?
I'm here.
Excellent. So, you just hurriedly putting on your headphones. Yeah, I get you. Welcome to Ever Beyond. Tonight, as I said, is a kind of relatively open show, and I've invited Nancy on so that we can, you know, continue a couple of the threads that she was teasing out of the fabric of space-time, and you know, see what we can do with it and share our knowledge and experience. And if anybody wants to come in, you can call in using our new number in Skype, which is... Call in now on Skype, wolfspirit.switchboard1. Or on the telephone is 1-702-879-4770. That's 702-879-4770. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. Yeah, so that's how you get here. You can call directly call into the station, and it will come up on my call, and I'll bring you into the call with myself and Nancy. Some of the subjects I'd like to cover tonight, obviously the Grand Cross, that is happening in 2.5 hours time. We'll be half an hour into Frank's show, and hopefully we'll be doing some kind of meditation thing with that later on. The exact moment of the, you know, first part of the alignment is tonight. It really feels like somewhere, you know, it's like that you know, castle at the top of the hill that seems to have gone on forever, and false peaks and false alarms. I don't know if today is the day or it's just another day, but I certainly feel a lot of tension physically in my body. It's like, you know, I feel all knotted up inside, all kind of compressed. Have you had any experiences like this, Nancy?
I got a lot of shungite.
That's true. All right, yeah. Well, there's another thing we haven't discussed yet. Although, you know, we're at our very early stages of experimenting with this stuff. So, we'll talk about that as well. But so you've been perfectly healthy and nothing has gone crazy around you, has it?
Well, other people have.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I have.
No, but, well, this is the thing, you know. We just happen to have discovered this material, which is a form of carbon in the form of Buckminster fullerene, 60, like two geodesic domes, the atoms are arranged, a little community of 60 atoms. And this material is only found in the Ukraine. Is it found in only one specific place, Nancy?
No, this is one of those stories, okay? We both came across the information, it only came from the Ukraine. The truth of it is, the Shungite, I'll give you the brief of it, okay? There were some guys in, I think, Princeton University. They were doing theoretical mathematics, trying to figure out what could possibly molecules that could be found in space. They came across this theoretical molecule, the C60, the carbon-60, and they made it in the lab, and they won a Nobel Prize for it. So then they went on a search to find out, could they find it naturally someplace on Earth? And they found it in this 1,000-square-mile deposit in a Russian republic that is right next to Finland. So it's not the Ukraine. There is supposedly something similar to it that is being sold as Shungite, but it's not Shungite. The only place you find it is in this 1,000 square miles, and it's really wicked interesting because it's on the top of the earth. They're not going into mines. They're strip mining it, taking it right off the top of the earth. And the Shungite does have the fullerene molecule. The only other place that they found a naturally occurring fullerene molecule was in a Russian gold mine and in a Canadian gold mine and in a impact crater with meteorite still in it. In that meteorite, they find it. And they've also found traces of it in space. So that was the key, is understanding, okay, this is one place that has this miraculous stuff. And, you know, you can talk about the miraculous stuff it is, but no, it was not just in Ukraine. Thank God, because Ukraine's got problems. But
things could be difficult getting it out, yeah.
You know, I was a little worried about the source, you know. And so I was led to somebody in Europe that actually seems to go directly to the mine to get it. So now I'm getting pieces that are bigger than the ones you get for the water. And now we've got Shungite, a source of Shungite. So pretty soon, as I can get it up, I will get a store up so that you can get what I know I can absolutely guarantee is the right Shungite.
Excellent.
For prices that are acceptable. And so I'm in the process of doing that. But to answer your question, yeah, people around me were really going getting crazy. Weird things. I mean, like, situations where you got people talking to one another, but they're not hearing one another, you know, and a lot of angst, and, you're pushing my, you know, everybody's on edge. But having so much Shungite around me, I understand they're going through it, but it just seems to be like, oh, it's not affecting me, because Shungite, this is the most highly investigated mineral that I have ever seen, and I was in the business in the 90s. You go on and you Google fullerene or you Google Shungite, and you get thousands of scientific papers on this. And they're looking at it from the chemistry standpoint. It purifies water. It takes out all of the chemicals and bacterial and, you know, microorganisms. And if you put the water and you soak it, and then you take it in, the fullerenes are now in the water. They get in your body. They act as antioxidants, and they also take out the homocysteine in the blood. And homocysteine is the thing that causes heart disease. It's not cholesterol. It's not cholesterol at all. Homocysteine is a byproduct of the methylation process, and what happens is that homocysteine grabs a hold of the cells in the interior of your veins and your heart, and it creates cracks. And when you get enough homocysteine that is causing this cracking, basically cracking of your arteries, then the cholesterol comes and gets snagged. And there you got a blockage. But it's the homocysteine. You cannot have a person that's got a bad heart without homocysteine in their systems at high levels. But the shungite gets rid of the homocysteine. So every step of it that I look at is one miraculous thing after the other. But again, they're only looking at it from the chemistry standpoint. I'm looking at it from the energy standpoint. You know, what's it doing to the energies? You know, and they've proven that it will block they're saying it'll block electromagnetic energies. I'm saying no, it transmutes. It transmutes. And I think that crazy fullerene, the Buckminster Fuller double geodesic dome, inside of that there's a quantum reality that does something. You know, it's like a soccer ball, and inside that soccer ball is a magical, mystical place, because these things should not exist in nature.
One of the things they sound about buckyballs is that you can, you know, the double slit experiment, you can fire them through the slit,
right,
and they pop inside out.
Right.
So they can get through the slit, which is only wide enough for one atom. They can get through the slit by they literally turn themselves inside out and slide through one at a time.
Right, and you should point out that this slit thing, normally what happens is if you send an atom through it, and it can go through and turn on the other side as a particle atom, or it can be a wave. But the buckyball just turns itself inside out and doesn't go through changes. Am I correct?
Totally.
Yeah. So it doesn't conform to what we know as 3D science to begin with. And my telltale, well, two things happened. One being that my friend came over and set up her hot Wi-Fi, and I said, man, I can't take this energy. And she went over and took her ring off and put it on the antenna. It was a shungite ring, and as soon as she did that, the nasty energy went into delightful energy. And the other thing I did was I took one of the pendants of shungite and I put it on the dog's collar. And Josie dog, I thought she was going to be dead in 48 hours. She was just failing so fast. And I put it on her. The next day she was doing so good, I forgot to give her medication, and that was 6 weeks ago. Now, the only thing that's been added is the shungite. And an animal will react to energy much faster than a human because they don't have to go through a mind thing. And I can't say that it's the shungite, but it's the only thing that was added. And she's probably now, 6 weeks later, from 48 hours from death, I would say that she's probably at the health level she was maybe 6 months ago. So it's not like I think she's going to live forever, but, I've got a dog that now, instead of sleeping all day, and she gets up and she walks around, and if I leave the room, she gets up and follows me. So, you know, but we got to get more and more of these kind of testimonials. And I have set it up that it's going to go through, even though I know they've already done it, I want to videotape it, gone through testing with the state-of-the-art meters that will be able to, really kind of analyze what happens to a house with no shungite in it and how much electromagnetic pollution is there. And then to put shungite into the system, and it's very simple. I'm working on some devices, but basically it's just put shungite on top of anything that is continually on, like your cable connector. And it will feed into the entire electric system in your house, and instead of having nasty energy, it transmutes it into delightful energy.
This is very interesting, because I'm talking on another show about smart meters. Getting them to change their frequency.
Yeah.
I was on the show? I can't remember if I was actually on it or... no, I was listening to it. Sean's Strange Universe on Thursday night. What an exciting night that was. Really good radio. I played earlier an interview that was given with the guy who did the remote viewing of the pyramid, you know, the Farsight Institute?
Oh, right, yes.
So
yes.
I've got that. It's a Stephen D. Kelly show. It'll be on the Revolution Radio YouTube channel, which is Free Revolution. I have to find it out. Anyway, the Revolution Radio YouTube channel, Stephen D. Kelly, and it would be 18th of April 2014. Anyway, what I was also I lost myself. We're talking. Where did we leave off? I've totally lost my train of thought. We're talking about Shanghai. Oh, yes, I've got it. So he had a guest who was called Dr. Ibrahim. This is on Strange Universe. Again, that will be available on the archive at Revolution Radio. And his name was Dr. Ibrahim, and what he was talking about was geometric form of the appropriate sizes, therefore wavelengths, placed in different areas of, say, a city, reduces the effect of the pollution on the city. It doesn't stop the pollution, but it reduces people from suffering from it. And it's all to do with the angles of the geometric forms and the phase angle of the waveforms that come off them. So whether they're in phase or out of phase and things like that. And the geometric form itself produces a phase-angled field, and I believe this is what's going on with the Shanghai, because of the phase angle inside the buckyball, because it's a very unusually gentle angle, isn't it?
Yes, that's very, very interesting, because what I'm doing is I'm taking pieces of the Shanghai, and then I'm using wire. And the first piece I did was solid copper wire, and it was just like when I wrapped the wire around it, this piece of shungite, which was pretty small, it was the first batch I got and I only had small pieces, it was like, whoa, the energy coming off of this thing was intensified with the copper coil. But what I noticed in now I've done about, I don't know, 50 of these pendants. What I've noticed is that if you look at the shungite and you decide, okay, this is the top and this is the bottom, you don't have that decision. It's in the shungite itself. Even though it might look better as a pendant if you've got it in one position, if you turn it upside down, all of a sudden you'll feel a different energy. And so there's an up and a down to the shungite, which would lock it into a different coordinate of its relationship of the shungite piece to the grounding on Earth, which would then geometrically make sense. I don't know if that made sense, but I can absolutely see that, having worked with it, that it's geometry. With inside that shungite, it is geometry at the molecular level. So that's really interesting,
isn't it? So you know, there are things that are coming on the radio all the time that are just adding more and more pieces to the puzzle. You know, why do geometric forms work? Now we know. It's phase angle. It's very
interesting. Well, yeah, and the universe is built on it. I mean, the whole universe is geometric. It's like, I know that the sun is getting bigger, but it's hard to tell the sun is getting bigger because the earth is getting bigger too, because it's a relationship of geometry. So not only is both celestial bodies getting bigger, as all the celestial bodies in the solar system are, but they're also getting farther away. So they're keeping the same relationship that they had prior to that. So everything looks like it's the same, but it's not.
And the frequency of the sun is changing as well, isn't it?
Well, because the geometric form is changing, it's bigger. It's bigger. So yeah, everything, the entire frequency level of the solar system is increased. I mean, it's not just Earth that is heating up. All of the planets are heating up. There's not just Earth that the electromagnetic field is switching. All of them are switching.
Yeah, and also the sun as well.
And the sun itself, yes. Absolutely. The whole thing is, and we are, at the molecular level. See, one of the reasons that people are feeling all this angst and this energy stuff is that it goes back to the concept of the cosmonauts and the bioelectromagnetic field that I talked about on my show, is that our brains and our being, our bodies are designed to exist in a specific bioelectromagnetic field. But Gaia, Earth, and the solar system and the sun and everything else is all changing. And so our relationship to the energies around us, we either change or we don't. And if we don't, we ain't going to go on. Because you have to be matched, resonating with the biosphere that you're in. So all of us are changing. And at the molecular level, I mean, if you see kids today, they're much smarter, they're much more advanced, they're just blow me right out of the way, because their DNA has already gone through the transition. The rest of us started out with two DNA, and if we can handle it, we will have a new matrix of DNA that'll be 12-stranded instead of the two. Most people will only go up to six, because the energies, when you're changing at the DNA level, the energies that are being produced are incredible. So that's why I say, with shungite, transmuting the energies within my system as it goes to balance, 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 allows me to ride through this without too much angst. But for most people who don't have that grounding, who don't have that thing, the best thing I can tell you right now is, please, every day, go out and put your feet on the ground, your bare feet. Ground yourself. Connect with the earth. You're connecting with the bioenergy that you need to be able to become balanced. But that's, you know, yeah, everybody's angsty because everybody's changing.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel actually completely wired. I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning, which is usually the time I go to bed. Everything's completely upside down for me today. Ever since I woke up, I've been doing things. I've been digging the garden. I've dug about 6 square meters of soil, dug all the weeds and bits of metal out of it. I can reel off this list. But two things that I did today, which is really unusual. I mean, you know, I wear Crocs most of the time around the house, and I just go out onto my garden lawn and call it a lawn. It's one of the grassy bits. And ground out there. But today, because I was digging soil and I had some nice moist soil, I actually put my feet right down into it and just stood there for a couple of minutes. It was very cooling, very nice effect. And then later on, I was walking around. There's a field up the road, so I walked across the field in my bare feet, which is pretty risky in Scotland because it's like full of rocks and stuff. But So I'm feeling pretty, you know, pretty cool. But I've had this, it's like an inner tension, an underlying tension, and like an underlying anxiety. That is very difficult, and it locked up my neck, and I got a terrible, you know, stiff neck yesterday. But
I had to go to the chiropractor on Monday and then on Saturday, and I normally go once a month, but I had to go Monday and then Saturday because my neck was out and my lower back, and I hadn't really done anything that should have done that, except maybe do some shungite when it was looking down. But the tension that you're feeling is because you're changing. As a matter of fact, I bet that you might be feeling sensations of coldness in certain parts of your body, or heat. Like, all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh, I got this cold. What's this cold about? Or, oh, gosh, I'm feeling this heat. But your body's changing.
And transformation, yes.
Transformation. There's no way of getting away from it. Just embrace it.
Yeah, well, totally. You know, I don't know, I haven't spoken to you since I've had this insight, but I spoke about it last week. Let me just cover what you just said, that the throat chakra and the sacral chakra are the first chakras that get activated during the transformation process. And we call that the first initiation. And with it comes insights. But generally you have these issues that pop up. And I can guarantee people say, have you got a sore neck? And they'll say, oh, God, it's terribly sore neck. And I said, how's your lower back? And they say, oh, yeah, my lower back as well. How do you know? It's because it's nothing. You haven't done anything. You haven't put your back out. That it's all part of what they call the initiatory process or the ascension process. So if you're getting a sensation in your neck and a sensation in your sacrum, that's the point where your spine joins your pelvis. That's the sacroiliac joint. Right there is the sacral center. So if you're getting issues there, it means that energies are coming out. They're being transformed. They're being purged, and they're generally things to do, if you're in the sacral center, to do with relationship, and in general, not specifically sexual relationship, but like the way you relate to people. But also it governs relation and generation and all of those things, regeneration and procreation. So all of those issues come up, you know, so we might find ourselves leaving a partner or changing a partner or something like that. Changing partners, changing who you partner with, you know, really things come out. And then also the throat center becomes activated. So what we get to is the point where the throat center and the sacral center are in communication with each other. And that means that you actually communicate with your partners, the people that you're relating to, and you relate to them, you know, in a proper relating way, and not just like, you do what I tell you to do because I own you, you know, that kind of relationship. The relationship is a much more, what's called right relationship, which is a non-abusive relationship, a harmless relationship. And you really know it, you know, if you meet somebody who has this kind of relating energy, you really know it, and you feel attracted towards them because it's just natural. They seem very natural around, natural to be, and like being in your family and things like that. That's the sort of experience you get. Most people don't relate in that exact way, and there's some kind of abuse. And usually it's you know, it's the sort of thing that makes you angry when you meet them, or that irritates you about them. Anyway, so yes, sacral and throat center have a connection in this. The next two are solar plexus and heart. So if you're having middle zone issues, then you know that you're on the second stage of the process. So it's all mapped out.
Interestingly enough, exactly the issues of relationship that you're talking about. I had a friend of mine who said she was having very complicated relationship changes on all sorts of levels, and she complained of her lower back being out. But she had shungite on. And I said, gee, I wouldn't think you would have that with a shungite. And she said, well, and she took the shungite off and put it over her solar plexus, because she made the connection that the back was out because of the solar plexus activity. And within a short period of time, I don't remember how long, the backache went away. So, shungite. And Dolores Cannon, to the second part of your thing, Dolores Cannon says that, through her sources, that when you feel somebody that, you know, you resonate with, that you have an energy connection to, that person is actually carrying energy that you need to fulfill your own energy field. Just throwing that one out too.
Yeah, that's kind of another way of saying that everybody's got a part of everybody's puzzle.
Exactly.
So that was one thing. that was one thing. And then there was something else, and that's completely escaped me. It might come back.
No, you were saying that you had gotten an insight.
Oh yes, the insight. And this is the insight, is to one way of dealing with the, you know, just attaching this piece of shungite to my crystal pendant here. There we go. Good old blue tech does the job. Let's see how that works. Yes. Now, you know the Egyptian Ankh symbol?
Yes.
Yeah. You know everybody says is a key, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. I think of it as a portal.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. A lot of people think, oh, it's a key, like you stick the long end in something and you turn it. Right? That's a three-dimensional projection of what a key is. What I believe it is a stance. And it's the stance of a child with their arms open.
Oh, wow.
And that's the key to be as children.
Wow, that's interesting.
And it's to me, the symbol is like a cosmic turnstile. You know a turnstile when you go to a football match or a
yes.
swimming pool, and you have to lift up your arms in order to get through it.
Yep.
So there's some kind of turnstile-like thing. But basically, from my interpretation of this, is in order to get through the initiations, you have to embrace what comes to you. And absorb it.
I won't argue with that.
How's that?
Yeah. Well, it's like I've said before, is that we've got faith and belief and knowledge. And faith is when somebody tells you something that sounds like it might be right, and you sort of go along and believe it. When you get to belief, it's that you have seen details that make you think that something is possibly or probably true. But knowledge is only attained when you have experience. And all we're designed to do is to experience. And people just, they get bogged down in being afraid of change, and yet without change, you're not doing your job. And Dolores Cannon also said that the main reason, the only reason that human beings exist is to understand how to use energy. You know, and that's what's happening, is that we're becoming more aware of our own energy bodies in so many different ways.
Oh yeah. So. And the other thing is that another word for energy is power.
Oh yeah. You know,
people use this word all the time and don't realize what they're talking about. I'm disempowered. You empower. What is it? The word they used, embolden. That's right. Which is a text thing. The idea of empowering yourself is literally raising your energy levels. And part of the idea of having a high energy level is you have a high degree of confidence in your own self. You know what you feel like. You know what it feels like when somebody else is impinging on your field. You understand that if somebody is impinging on your field, then that's gonna spoil your day, basically. And so you learn how to manage yourself and the fields of yourself around others, and you know, you may want to apply an outward pressure that would be that would match the incoming pressure. We're able to feel that a lot more these days. I'm certainly having it, and I don't think that I'm unique. You see, I'm just telling people what I'm experiencing because I know that everybody else is going through it, or at least a lot of people are. There are people ahead of me, people behind me, but we're all going along the road, and we're all dragging each other.
Yes, and I've noticed that since I've been working with the shungite, that more people are energy sensitive than before. You know, before I could have done the on and off of the ring over the antenna system, and people would have been, yeah, right, you know. But no, they were like, oh, I can feel that. And, you know, these people have been with me for a long time. I've done energy work with them before, and they just didn't get it. But now they're getting it.
I wonder if that's because there's more energy here.
Oh, absolutely. And what, again, matching what Dolores Cannon is talking about, she's talking about a new earth. I don't know if you saw the posting that was done in a number of groups about her, based on, for those that don't know, Dolores is a hypnotherapist who has been working, he's done thousands of readings on people. And in the last 5 or 6 years, she started getting people that were connecting more to spirits who would then talk to, through them like a channeling thing. And so she was able to glean a lot more detail and a phenomenal amount of information.
Mm. But the thing is, Nancy, is that she wasn't like a paranormal hypnotist. She was just somebody who would like cure people of their cigarette addictions. You know, she's just a regular hypnotist. But she would ask people if she could do a little bit of extra research, she said, using their subconscious connection that they've set up. And that's the fascinating part, because she started using these people like bloody telephones.
Right. Well, what happens is when she puts them into a trance, instead of going into your own past to answer questions, she'd ask them questions. What is it that you want to know? Well, I think I saw a UFO. Can we go back there and ask questions about it? Or I have this, you know, this phobia about this, that, or the other thing. And so she would, she found through all of these kind of exercises that she was doing with them that she could bring them back to points in time. And, of course, then she ended up doing regression into past lifetimes. And she also got involved in UFO abductees. But when these people started to say, whoa, I don't know, it looks like I've never been here before, and she's describing an environment that is not Earth-like, and it's like, no, they're not on Earth. And she started to find, because she's written 17 books that are basically 500-plus pages each, but it's all, the vast majority of it is just the transcripts of the various people that she found she would follow a particular subject with. So it's just absolutely fascinating, because they started to, they would find somebody, like there was a library that showed up a number of times, but she got to the point she knew there was a librarian there. And so she says to somebody, you know, is a librarian there? And the person would go, oh, yeah, well, I guess, you know. And so then Dolores would ask questions to be asked of the librarian. And then all of a sudden, the librarian would sort of like, well, let's just talk face to face here. And the person would no longer be saying, well, he said, it would be a direct communication between these spiritual entities. And I mean, I haven't read, good Lord, I haven't even gotten started touching her books. I've read one of them. But when you read it, you understand that she is connected to information. And part of that information regards the new earth. And what she's saying is that Gaia herself, the Earth biosphere, is simply going to increase its vibratory level and kind of like show up in a different place in space and time, purified. In other words, not having all this garbage. They're not going to try to fight. Gaia's not going to try to fight through it. She's just going to change. And in changing, she's going to change us all. She is the god of our universe. There's other gods, I'm sure, higher gods, whatever. But Gaia, and that's what I discovered in the writing of Cosmic Reality, is that we really have to acknowledge the conscious god energy of Gaia. We would not exist. None of this would exist if there wasn't a consciousness. And I'm not saying that as a metaphysician. I'm saying that as somebody who has studied Russian and other science that gets into the concept of, if you got this biosphere, you have to have a consciousness behind it. You cannot have creation without a consciousness. And they anticipated by mathematics and a whole bunch of other science stuff that Gaia, the consciousness that is our biosphere God, would have to, by the nature of how fast humans were learning and humans were increasing their level of consciousness, that would feed back into Gaia, and she herself would take a jump in consciousness level. And that's what's going to happen, and well, it's already happening in my opinion, but in Dolores' opinion, that that's when the new earth materializes into what would then become our reality, because those people that are vibrating at the same, the Gaia's new vibration, it'll all be frozen energy. We'll all see it as being solid. But right now, that transition is already happening. So that's why people are going through this massive transition inside of themselves in these energies. And, you know, it's okay. Just let it happen.
It's a bit of a butterfly cocoon thing. When the butterfly leaves the cocoon is just dross. It's unused material. It's, you know, it's recycled waste. That's, I believe, what the old Earth will become.
Exactly. And you know that when you say butterfly, it always makes me think of that little joke there. You know, the two caterpillars standing next to one another, and there's a butterfly flying over, and one says to the other, "You never catch me up there."
Don't get me in one of those things. Yeah.
You know, it is like. You know, that's what so many people are doing, and, you know, forget the caterpillar is a not so attractive critter that is very limited, has to be on the right plant, otherwise it's going to die. You know, it's like it eats the entire plant until it's completely destroyed, and then it goes off and it hangs from this little thing and becomes a chrysalis, and inside of it, all of the chemistry that went into making the caterpillar is all changed in this miraculous kind of soupy thing. And then out of that transforms a butterfly that then comes out of the cocoon, flaps its wings, and to see them flapping their wings and getting the hydraulic system pumped into those wings until they got the wings all out and it dries out a little bit, and boom, it's flying. I mean, come on, boys and girls, don't you want to do that?
I'd like to be able to fold them up again. It might be difficult getting back in my cottage. Apparently,
you can see I watch a lot of butterflies.
Yeah, I mean it is an amazing thing that the whole idea is, because it's like it's basically an inflatable on a micro scale. It's a huge inflatable. It's like, imagine two tarpaulins that are sewn together or fused together, and you pump compressed air or liquid into them, and this thing will you sort of expand and flatten out, like your popcorn, you know, the bag of popcorn.
When it gets to a point where if you're really watching them, they get to a point where there's almost like you can almost see like bubbling inside. You know, there's all this little microscopic movement that's happening, like there's churning and burning inside of these little, and they're so flimsy. I mean, tissue paper, it would be huge compared to these little sacks, and all this miraculous transformation happens inside of them. It's just stunning. Stunning. You there?
Yep. Peanuts.
So we got anybody out there that wants to talk to us?
That would be nice. Let's try this.
Call in now on Skype, wolfspirit.switchboard1. Or on the telephone is 1-702-879-4770. That's 702-879-4770. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Rod wants his own cocoon with a nice sound system.
Well, I love the fact you've done that, because then you know that the number and the information is right.
It means I don't have to read it out every time.
Yeah.
Which means I don't have to have a piece of paper or a file that I open up. It's just a button. In fact, I've got a button that does this.
Hi out there, you're listening to Sean David Martin.
Oh, wrong show. I've got a band that does this. Got one of these. One of these.
This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
What does this one do, hang on? Oh, I like that one. Number five is quite good. Just the pure awoo.
Yes, Wolf Spirit, you know, we do what we do. I mean, Wolf Spirit Radio and your own radio, you know, what you're doing, because, I mean, I come on once a month, but you're on here every week and for long periods of time, and I just admire what you do. You're doing such good work, and, you know, I know that a lot of people get frustrated because they say they're saying the same thing over and over again and nobody's listening, and I really do believe people are listening. One of the things that I do administer the Odd Group, and I also Cosmic Reality, my own group with a book, and over the last going on now 4 months, I'm noticing that there's more and more people asking to become members that are new to Facebook. And some people got really paranoid. Oh, they're trying to do this, that. I said, no, these are people awakening. And they're being drawn to the places where they can get the information. It goes back to they're asking the questions, and the universe is helping them find us. Because I do believe that, you know, that we're telling people the truth. We've been in this for a long time. We know what we're up against. And we know the people that are ringing true to us. So Dave's Corso's work with Wolf Spirit and your work and, you know, Revolution Radio, all of these new ways of mass media, and it is mass media. The Bundy case, the ranch thing, did one thing that I'm sure the feds did not anticipate. The White House said, we're not going to let you guys talk about it. And apparently there were people in the business that said they were actually threatened by no access to the White House if they continued to talk about the Bundy Ranch. So it still became a very, people for some reason, whatever reason, you know, were still wanting to find out more information. So they turned to the alternative networks. And one writer, who happens to be one of InfoWars, people that were trained by InfoWars, who's been, I can't think of his name, but he had over 3 million hits on one of his articles. So the alternative radio, the alternative news network that is growing in leaps and bounds is really making a difference. And pretty soon that nobody's going to be looking at CNN. They're going to be looking at, you know, the people that are telling them the truth.
They'll be tuning in to WSR. We're going to need extra server capacity in short order, I think.
I do believe it, because it's just the way that I'm seeing it. And, you know, it's like, because we've been in it for so long, it's like I have to kind of laugh at the people that are getting nervous about this. Oh, there's so many people that have only been on Facebook for less than 3 months. Yeah, they're waking up. They're waking up. You know, be joyful. Don't be afraid of it. You know, and it's like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, for many years I've been feeling that there would be a point of, it would be a denouement, a turning point, where, well, really, I mean, what's been happening is that the people so far, up to now, most people have believed the mass media, and they take in the stories, and they, you know, they eat the stuff, and they, you know, regurgitate it to each other and denigrate anybody else who doesn't. But there have been these things, and I'm not sure if they are completely accidental or it might be that the government idea, or whatever we call government, is shooting itself in the foot. You know, by trying to ban things like that, then it just encourages it. So, are they trying on some level to wake us up by being so stupid do you see what I'm saying? That there might be a subploy under this, that they're actually very, very cleverly waking us up by appearing to be stupid, to appear to be doing stupid things, so that we can start taking responsibility.
Well, I kind of feel that it's sort of on that line, but you know they're really into mind control. We could get into that discussion, but they're using all sorts of mind control techniques from the advertising, subliminal messaging. Half of the drugs they're giving people are really to dumb them down. It's a continual list of mind control, and I suspect I'm going to put you on mute for one.
So, a continuous stream of mind control.
But what I'm saying is that perhaps, just perhaps, somebody's doing mind control against them, because they are being incredibly stupid. You know, it's like incredibly stupid. And I look at it and I go, why would you think that this would work? And I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing. It's like you're being so stupid that people have to wake up, because they're going like, now, why are they being so stupid?
Yeah, so, I don't know. I sometimes I just think I'm a little bit too paranoid. But, you know, there's a fine line between paranoia and psychic sensitivity. And I know quite a few people who are psychic and mediums who sort of veer off into the paranoid sometimes. It's very easy. It's very easy to make up connections that don't exist.
One of the telltale signs of a psychic, or particularly a medium, is anxiety. You know, because you're always feeling these energies.
Well,
so
yeah.
Paranoia is a natural effect of it.
We'll talk about that lady as well after the break, I think. We'll talk about her in the second hour. Because that's another thing that we've been investigating together.
Long Island?
Long Island medium, yeah. We've got to have her on the show.
Teresa.
Yes. What's her name? Italian.
Teresa Caputo. And the funny thing is I was watching a show just this week, and it was a repeat, and she was in North Miami, which is the next town. I mean, I live sort of like in North Miami. And she was here. She was right here in my neighborhood, and I didn't know it.
But you were turned on to her while she was in the neighborhood.
Oh, I just think that she's amazing. Did you see that Dr. Oz thing?
Yeah, so, let's tell the audience about this lady. Her name is Teresa Caputo, and she's got to have Leo in her chart in a really big way, because she's got this hairstyle thing, very Jennifer Aniston-type hairstyle, blonde, and it's coiffured exactly the same every day. It looks the same, and so it's like her signature thing. She's got this kind of bonnet hairstyle. But the thing is, she is a very, very heartfelt woman, and she's a total empath. She feels things, she sees things, she experiences things, and sometimes it's like the person is talking through her. She, like you were saying, you know, like you were talking about the thing with Dolores Cannon, is that she'll be so empathic that she'll start speaking from the first person. It's fascinating. What's your feeling about her?
Well, she is on a television program. I don't know what it would be. I mean, I'm sure you can get it online, even the repeats. But her shows, when she starts them out, she said, you know, I'm a medium. I talk to the spirits, and this is not just my job; it's my life. And that's what is John Edward. When he was doing his thing out there, and he was on television, and he was giving readings from the other side, it was a set audience. The audience came in. He had a lot of credibility issues. Well, you knew that this guy who got a ticket, and so you did this research on him. And he really did have to butt up against a lot of that kind of vulnerability. But in her case, they just follow her around. It's like a reality show. They follow her around with a camera, And so you never know when she's going to do a reading. Yes, she has people come to her house. Yes, she goes to other people's houses. Yes, she does groups. But some of the funniest ones are some of the ones that bring you into the you know, tears are the ones, like I remember once she went with her daughter to get a cupcake. And you can always tell when she's getting spirit because she starts doing this weird thing with her mouth. You know, it's like, uh-oh. It's almost like, should I say anything or shouldn't I? But when you see that, and it doesn't take you long before you pick it out. And then she'll just walk up to somebody and say, you know, I'm a medium. I talk to the dead. And did you lose your father? And then she proceeds to say things to these people that these people go, nobody knows that but me. And so she takes people that don't believe in this and makes them into believers. But what one woman said, who Dolores was doing a group reading, and she said to this woman, you're very much like me. And she said, you didn't expect to be read. She said, but Spirit wants you to know that you do good work. She said, but you get more happy about the messages that you hear me give somebody else. And she said, this woman said, because you seem to be able to pick out the person who needs to have a reading beyond anybody else. She said, when I watch you, and of course she's watching television, so when I watch you, I see that you help people who need to be helped. And that's why I think she's real, is that the life transformations that she's done for some of these people are dramatic. And every once in a while she's done a show where they went back to people who they had done a reading for and said, okay, since the reading, what's happened? And most of the time when they do those shows, I just cry because it's one great story after another. But she was on Dr. Oz. And the thing with the hair, she's so into her hair that I couldn't believe she allowed them to put this cap that looked like a bathing suit cap that had all of these electrodes coming off of it and stuff. And they took different brain readings of her when she was just Teresa and then when she was Teresa the medium. And they actually detected dramatic changes in her brain. It was an awesome demonstration. But I think she's the real deal, and I think she does incredible work. And plus the fact, she is so much fun. Her family is fun. Everybody around her are good people. They're happy people.
Yeah, you know? She's really upbeat. That's what I like about her. And she's very positive. Even though sometimes she can spark a grief. And what it is, you know, it's like when people are in distress, there are signals, you know, and if you're a medium or a psychic, there are no secrets, you know. It's not like she's reading your mind, it's like your mind is pushing into her. And that's what she's, because this is what happens personally, is that, you know, I'm not trying to read somebody's mind, but I get words that come to my mind because it's coming out of their aura. To me, in order that I may serve them by reflecting it back to them. And I think that's what my function seems to be in this kind of thing. It's just like, I'll just say what I'm hearing, and say, and just express that. And you know, there is, I've had some amazing feedbacks recently about things that I say just drop everything into place for people, like sew it all back together again.
And that's what I think that she demonstrates, is that, and I've heard her say that, you know, anybody can be a medium, you just have to listen. But some people are more geared towards hearing their frequency. I mean, the brain scan they did of her showed that, you know, that her brain was operating in a different area at much greater frequency. So by altering your frequency, you can tap into these paranormal, so-called paranormal powers. But the first thing that you have to have is a total familiarity with your own self. And one thing about her is that she knows who she is.
Indeed. You know, so, Nancy.
Yeah.
It's the top of the hour again. Okay. Didn't that one go quick?
Yeah, it did.
So the first thing you're going to hear is that this is the sound that my guides made the first time they got in contact with me, and this is in 1988, and it sounded just like this. I made a tape because I needed to, like, this is what it sounded like, I need to remember it. And so they said, get on with your job, and I said, what's my job? And this is what their reply is, and then yeah, after that there's an Eagles track. So this is that. Donald Henley there with the Eagles taking it to the limit. I tell you, he really did it. You know, I was trying to sing along with it, and it's already high enough that I, you know, squeal at the top notes. But at the bit at the end where they just repeat it, I think they repeat it about 19 times, and it's going up every time. Yeah, so where he goes, and that is, you know, he's going up. He's doing Mariah Carey levels of vocal range there. So, we are back on Ever Beyond. It's Easter. It's the Grand Cross. It's 4:20. It's bunnies everywhere. Actually, I had chickens. I've been talking to the chickens today, and I gave one a really good stroke. It's so sweet. It just kind of stood there, kind of more or less enduring my petting. Well, I'm sure it'll get better.
On Sunday morning, this morning, they were showing this video with these guys, this couple that's actually renting out chickens. They come with a coop and everything, and you get two female egg layers, and you can rent it by the month. And the reason for it is, A, you're getting fresh eggs. They lay an egg a day, and so you're getting fresh eggs. But also, from the customer standpoint, it was being done mostly because kids were asking for pets. And so the parents were getting these chickens saying, if you can put up with the chickens, then maybe, you know, you can have this as a pet. It was a real, but you're talking about chickens, you know, again, the synchronicity. I just saw this morning.
That's funny. And that's good. That's really good because, you know, the more people can get into this kind of basic husbandry, I'm thinking, all right, I could handle a chicken. I could, you know, in terms of, you know, sort of producing my own food and being self-sustaining. Having a chicken would be a really good thing. I already know what they like. they eat just about anything that's edible that we don't eat the bits of, that we can't eat, like, you know, the middles of peppers and, you know, hard sweet corns and, you know, bad popcorn and all that stuff. They'll really like that. Stale bagels, even gluten-free ones, you know, they're pecking over the ground and they're digging it all up and they're digging all my weeds up and making nice little bundles of hay that I can just rake up, and so that's my garden clear. So they're really good fun to have around, and they make this nice gentle little sound. And I suppose at the end, yes, wolf baby, the end of their lives may be on the dinner table. I hope yours was very pleasant, my dear. She's telling me how.
Well, one of the little girls, when her mom, you know, said she could have these chickens, said, you have to make a promise, though, that you will take care of them and that you'll never eat another chicken in your life. And so the little girl took the, yeah, okay, I'll take that, you know. And it was just, you know, it was an interesting little thing. But the other thing about you were mentioning birds, one of the things that happened with the shungite is that a friend of mine got a lovebird, went down and got a lovebird, and as soon as the man handed her the lovebird, the bird went right to her chest, and she had a shungite pendant on. And for 2 hours, the bird just nestled up against the shungite and purred. And, you know, birds can get into this purring thing, especially the lovebird, and would just purr. And the friend was saying, you know, can you imagine what it's like for this bird whose reality is without all of this electromagnetic smog, suddenly being in the area of shungite where all of this smog is neutralized? And I found that was very interesting.
That's awesome. And I just want to Stand corrected or sit corrected. Thank you very much. it's Randy Meisner and not Don Henley, who was doing the lead vocal on that. But still, bloody awesome for a bloke, I have to say. a very pure voice for a guy, you know, going all the way up there. I suppose Frankie Valli had that sort of voice as well, didn't he? But anyway, taking it to the limit. And yes, the chicken was very tasty indeed. Well done, darling. see, it's the whole thing, because it's about, you see, that song as well. A year ago, my girlfriend went away and left her dog with me, and he was a year old husky, and he really missed everybody. She couldn't take it to the kennel because, you know, he was just like going into complete abandon panic. She said, "Look, you know him. He knows you at least, you know, and God, no, please. Oh, well." So anyway, I took the dog and I had to do a radio show during the middle of it. And the dog just wouldn't stop talking. You know, husky dogs talk. They all the time. It's like having a nutter in the room because you don't understand what they're saying. They're just talking. You know, I do like my silent time, you know. So anyway. At the same time, I was having this kind of cosmic transformation thing going on, whereas I got food poisoning, it was like it was a kind of cosmic food poisoning. It just felt like I just purged everything all in one go, and then had a sort of enlightenment experience, which is like, I am your requested upgrade. All the time, I had an earworm, which was take it to the limit. All the time, going around in my head, take it to the limit, take it, and over and over and over again. And it was a totally insane time. And that was last year, at this time. This was last April, and that's when I gave up meat started on this kind of path of cleansing myself. And I have to say, you know, I took a photo of myself this afternoon, and physically I've gotten a lot more. I was flabby, I'm now just stocky. So, you know, I'm making improvements on that thing. I'm not exactly a Greek god. I'm not aiming for Adonis, maybe Prometheus. You know, if you look at statues of Prometheus, he's a stocky bloke. He's like a typical Greek kind of body type, but he's not flabby, he's just stocky. So I could probably go for that sort of look. But anyway, long story. Where was I? Talking about myself. Yeah. This is the first cycle. This is the cycle of what happened last year, I think is going to start happening to people. So if you see people and they're complaining of stomach aches or, you know, so-called food poisoning or so-called this or so-called that, just imagine that there's an energy that is in their solar plexus that is shining like a sun and expelling, pushing outwards everything that is not harmonious with it. And the use of shungite or organite or any of the other energy cleansing devices, materials, won't do you any harm. Let's put it that way. And it might help. And it might help you keeping yourself stable through these unstable times. Because it certainly did for me. You know, I've been wearing my crystal pendant that I built a couple of years ago now. I wear it every day and it just keeps me in line. I feel naked without it, even if I was naked.
I actually have two Orgon generators. Right now I've got two Orgon generators. I've got a shungite pendant, a shungite ring. I have another pendant that has shungite, a piece of a meteorite from Argentina, and Ethiopian opal. And oh my God, Ethiopian opal is like, unbelievable energy. It's totally mystical. I mean, it just opens up your mystical kind of energies. It's amazing. And they've only just found the vein. It's a recent vein. And I'd gotten it on this this pendant, and I had kind of like I was after the shungite, and I kind of like poo-pooed it initially, but I didn't make this. This was made from somebody else. And when I got it, I looked at that thing, and it, all of a sudden it discharged this energy that had I not been sitting, I probably would have been knocked down. I have seldom been hit with such an incredible force of such a small stone. And a couple of nights later, I'm just flicking through the television thing, and I stop on a station that I've only stopped on like twice before, and it has faceted stones. And don't you know they were doing Ethiopian opals? And I was so, I mean, just completely blown away by the intricacy of these opals. And right now you can get them fairly inexpensive. A cut opal of fairly good size you can get, you know, in the hundreds of dollars, whereas very shortly, when people realize the quality of this thing, it's going to be thousands of dollars. So I have that on also. And then I have a whole series of rings. So, yes, I live in an energy field of my own making. But I'm 60... what's my age? 65? I'm 65. And I'm healthy. I don't have any health issues. I live in a house that has quartzite on the floors and up the walls. In quartzite, every time you step on it, a piezoelectric charge happens. So, and I have no excuse for not for not doing well. But it all comes back to just understanding the energy fields and what they do, and also being very comfortable with myself. You have to be able to jump out of the matrix of the reality that people tell you that none of this is all BS. It's not BS. From a scientific standpoint, I can tell you it isn't. The first thing that got me into these energies was electronic warfare. It had nothing to do with metaphysics. I was led to metaphysics through the studying electromagnetic warfare and energies and understanding how these things work and can be emitted from minerals and others. And over the years, I've just gotten more and more sensitive to it. So if you just allow your mind to, you know, make an assumption, make you know, just pretend, well, maybe it's true, let's go with it. And if you go with it, you'll see. If you don't, it's still going to be working, but you're not going to be able to enjoy the subtleties of life.
Subtleties, yes. I think the whole thing, you know, it's subtleties that some people have noticed, and... Oh, right, yeah. The energetic background level. We were talking about earlier, talking about the... how people seem to be responding more to energies these days. And my theory is that actually the energy is increasing rather than our sensitivity to it. Or maybe both. But the clearer you are, the less bogged down by industrial products you are, the more you're sensitive to it. The longer your hair is, the more you're sensitive to it. We know about the Vril Society, Maria Orsic and all her people with their floor-length hair in order to speak to the Giza people. Was it who were they? The Aldebarans or something?
Right.
Was it the Aldebarans?
I think so.
Yeah. So... You know, there's all these ways of increasing your psychic and telepathic and empathic, which are all different things, aren't they? They're all very different. They're like different senses, you know. For instance, the realm where spirits reside, dead people, you know, ghosts and stuff, reside, is a different realm to the realm of thought. And of pure ideas. But we have a mechanism in our body, like we got our eyes that can represent terahertz of frequency, and our ears that can the hundreds of hertz frequencies, and our olfactory that takes the wherever that frequency might be, but it's like different frequency bands, like AM and FM, really.
Well, in my opinion, the 3D, the material world, we're vibrating at a specific below the speed of light frequency. When we go back to Teresa Pluto and the Long Island medium, when she was on Dr. Oz and she had the brain being scanned. Now, they showed her without the scan, and then with this, when she was doing a medium reading. And you could see that her brain lit up in a totally different, well, it didn't light up. That was what the difference was. Normally, in her normal brain, she had certain areas that were lit up. But when she was in the trance thing, it was like there was very little activity at all in that brain. And what was happening is that in her brain, my interpretation, in her brain got quiet. So it allowed to tune in to the spirit world, which is operating in frequencies above the speed of light. So we can't see them. It's not that they're not there. We just can't perceive them. They're operating too fast for us to see. So in the average human being, we have this capacity. It's like you just have to be willing to shut down your brain. You've got your mind and you got your brain. Your brain is that thing that's working at the beta frequency, and it keeps, we're looking and hearing and seeing and doing and all the cluttered brain. Your mind is a combination of your higher self, your super, your consciousness, the super consciousness of mankind. That's where all the activity happens, and that survives. That's your mental energy body. That survives. So as a human being, the most important, the only thing you have to do to become more paranormal, to be more aware and receptive to the things that are operating in frequencies beyond the 3D, beyond the speed of light, including telepathy, including mediumship, all of that requires that your brain stops thinking, that it just gets quiet, that it gets meditative. So in her situation, as soon as they start speaking to her, she gets out of the way. And you can clearly see that. It's like the only thing that she is there for is to communicate with the spirit on the other side, to give the message. And she always says, spirit did good. It's not me. They're just telling me, I'm telling you. Spirit did good. But that brain scan showing that that her brain thought really dropped out of the picture so that she could allow these energies to come through. But so many people are so afraid of being quiet with themselves. That's why they're always on the telephone. They're always playing with their tablets. They're on, they're continually distracting themselves from being quiet and being meditative. And what is meditation? Well, prayer is asking God for something, or spirit, or source. And meditation is listening. And that's all you have to do, is you have to become meditative. But to become meditative, you got to be real comfortable with yourself, and people aren't. And that's the key to empowerment. If you become your own best friend, if you just let it happen that the only person that matters in your life, they tell you, don't be selfish. No, I'm telling you, be selfish. Because if you're not selfish, if you do not put yourself on the highest pedestal in your experience, then you're not going to be any good for anybody else. But if you do that, you bring up everybody else. Everybody else is equally important.
Exactly. Love thy neighbor as thyself means love thy neighbor as you do yourself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But the more important thing is to love yourself, to understand yourself. And then you know where your head is at, and reality is what we think it is. So if you believe that you can get inside your own self and you can understand who you are and that you are the most important thing in your own universe, then everything opens up. Because if you don't claim yourself as being important, well, who else is going to?
Exactly. So, back to Teresa. I mean, I know we're kind of jumping around, but we're like looking at things from different angles. It's, you know, the realm of thought. There are many shiny little crystalline sides to this whole thing. And what I found fascinating, that I would have been, when I was watching the Teresa video, when she was brain scanned, you know, they looked all the, I would have imagined, personally, that everything, like the whole brain would have lit up. That's what I was kind of waiting for. But it surprised me that what it did is actually focused to a single point.
Yes, it did. But the rest of the brain went very quiet, very dark. Because she had disconnected her brain at the 3D to connect to a higher frequency. And that higher frequency came into her brain at that point that it was the light-up thing. Over the years, I've been able to tell who's sending me a signal by the way that I feel it come into my head. You know, it's like, if it's my higher self, it's sort of like, it's like all over. If it's a message from an ET, well, it's coming from one side of my head. If it's a guardian, it's an angelic being, a spirit being, it's another side. You know, nature spirit's another side. I can feel the difference of where the signal is coming into my head. So, yeah, we've got different receptors in our brain, just like in a radio. But if you got that radio all garbled up by a tuner that you just can't hear anything beyond the scrabble of everything, you don't make a connection. The only way you can do that is to get quiet and listen.
So, getting quiet and listening and embracing. So, yeah, going back to the Ankh symbol was the idea that we go through this kind of turnstile, somehow the key is to open your arms, which is very interesting.
Well, when you open your arms, you surrender.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe it is a matter of surrendering. It's like, don't listen to anybody except yourself. You know, I love this phrase, I don't care what anybody else thinks because it's none of my damn business.
Yeah, that's right. What other people think of you is none of your business. That's
it. No, it isn't.
Yeah. And it's so true as well. So true.
It's critical because if you keep thinking of what other people are thinking, the only thing that should matter is what you think. You're the only important thing in the universe. Because if you go from life, and it's not arrogance, it's simply, if I can't make myself the best I can be, what good am I for the people around me? If I can make myself the best I can be, then I, A, am an example, but more importantly, I'm resonating at a different energy level that will bring everybody else up because they have to resonate with me. You know, if you won't resonate with them, if you just, you know, focus your own energy into your own space and you resonate at a higher level, they have to come up to you. A higher energy does not resonate with a lower energy. The lower energy always comes up to resonate with the other ones. And that's why, as light workers, Jay, we sometimes get to a point where everything seems to stop. You know, and when I was younger, I used to fight it. I'd try to fight through the blockage. And after getting nowhere for a long time, I stopped doing that. And I realized that what it is that as light workers, and light workers are just sort of people whose lives have been manipulated to allow us to get to a certain enlightenment. And when we get to a certain enlightenment, we actually have to wait. I think of it as the plateau, for our signal, our energy to resonate with everybody else so that they make a jump, and so now we can go higher. So anytime you're going along and everything stops, don't worry about it. It's just that the others have to catch up with us. And so you just wait and you have a good time and you play music and you you know, do things, clean the house, take care of 3D or whatever. And pretty soon they've caught up and you start all of a sudden feeling energetic and like, oh, okay, let's go again. And I've seen this, you know, I mean, having a certain amount of age on me is really beneficial because I can see the patterns, you know, the cycles of life. And so that's what I think.
Yeah, so having having had two Saturn returns now, you've been it takes you through the mill. I mean, really, this I think like the solar cross, this grand cross, is kind of like a kind of Saturn return on steroids, whereby, you know, Saturn return is normally about, you know, how have you laid down the foundations in your life for your future, and this is like the big cycle, which is how have you laid down all the foundations in all of your lifetimes. You know, it's like I just kind of taking everything as a whole and taking yourself as a whole and all that stuff, which takes a level of consciousness much higher than the one that we normally work with in the everyday, day-to-day world and walking through Walmart, eh?
Well, you earlier alluded to the fact that maybe we're in a more energetic part of the universe, which we are. It's the photon belt. We're lining up with the center. We've been lined up with the center of the galaxy, where there's a black hole. And the black holes, yes, they suck in certain 3D light, but at the other side of it, they also spew out faster than light energies that are now bombarding us. That's why the sun is getting bigger and brighter and hotter, because it's being fueled not only by radiation from the black hole, but also from the dust and radiation that exists in this part of the universe. So we're going through this. This is what's happening, is we're into an area of the universe, I should say the area of the galaxy, which is fueling change. So, okay, I there was a second part to that. I wanted to comment on something else you had said then. Oh, and so now you've got the Saturn relationship. But what I want to know from you is because all of a sudden when you get into this position, you have all sorts of, I mean, let's face it, since about 2010, we've had one celestial, well, this is never going to happen until so-and-so, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and a once-in-a-life, you know, and we've had all of these once-in-a-lifetime things, and now you're getting some pretty impressive alignments. Again, geometrics. We're looking at it geometrically. So what exactly is this grand cross that we're talking about? Can you, because I'm not totally familiar with, I know it's alignments of planets, but what planets are we talking about?
Well, hang on. Sorry. Drank the cup of tea in the wrong end. So, what is the Grand Cross? We've described it before on my programs with Katie. We discussed a bit of it last week. But generally, there are planets... Oh, thank you very much. Can you hear that in the background? That's my steam kettle. the stove has just gone, must have burst into life or something, and the kettle's gone off. It's one of those whistling kettles. Anyway, Nancy, can you cover that? I've just got to go and turn this thing
off. Okay, I'm going to cover. Whenever you have these relationships where you can see these geometric figures, and they're being represented by the different stars. The different stars, the different planets, they all line up on certain coordinates within this solar celestial grid system. But what the beauty of it is that the same grid system connects to the Earth grid. So we have all these ley lines and these energy fields on Earth. It's all connected, and it's all based on geometry. So when you make any changes to the galaxy, you are still retaining the same geometric relationship. So that's why I say the planets are getting bigger, because the sun is getting bigger, but we're moving away, so we're keeping the same relationship. But all of those changes are also changing Earth itself. And what, back in, I think it was 2011, the Eskimos started saying that the sun and the moon were coming up in a different place in relationship to the earth. Because these are indigenous people who pay attention to this stuff. And it's not like your scientists don't know this stuff. They just aren't going to tell you. Because they only know a little of it. So they become fearful. And by becoming fearful, they then pass it on to us. We shouldn't be fearful. We should be saying, oh, good, empowerment, more energy. We're changing. And are you back, Jay?
Yes, I've just dealt with the kettle in the best British way possible by making a cuppa. Wolf Baby bought me a mug. Keep calm and have a cuppa. A cuppa in Britain is a cup of tea, you see.
Cuppa. I like that.
So would you like a cuppa? You know, it's obviously, there's only one thing you have a cuppa. You know, you have a mug of coffee, but you have a cup of tea. So a cuppa is a cuppa. Anyway, I'm a little teapot. Meanwhile, yes, the April Grand Cross, Mars, Pluto, Jupiter, and Uranus. Thank you very much, JB. This is, now, generally, in the astrology, there are generally three groups of influences. There's malefic, which means, you know, mal, as in malice, as in not very good. Beneficent, like, you know, Pope Benedict. No, like beneficial and nice and all good. And neutral. And the thing is that Mars has often, you know, it's got a bad rap a bit as being a little impetuous and a little kind of, you know, aggressive and all that sort of stuff. And Pluto is the destroyer of form that is outdated. So he rules the underworld. Really, you know, like we were talking about the cocoon, this is exactly the Pluto work. The cocoon is not needed once the butterfly emerges and has to be discarded, yet it was a part of it. So that's the job of Pluto. There's another version to that. To what? And Jupiter is generally, you know, it's Jupiter is jovial. Jove is Jupiter, Zeus. He's the happy, joyful, expansive energy. Love ray, all that sort of stuff. And then Uranus, right? Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius, which is the ruler of, which is our, you know, age coming up. So Uranium. And these Uranus type things are electricity and electronics and digital communications and quantum communications and crystals and all of this stuff. You know, the whole new age stuff is Uranus related, and Uranus is also noted for its very kind of suddenness, like a lightning bolt from the blue. And so Uranus is opposite, now which one, Uranus is opposite Pluto, and Mars is opposite Jupiter, and they're all in cardinal signs, which means this is like the beginning of something, or the kind of, the bringing, you know, what it feels like, it's like all the pieces have been, you know, carefully crafted and constructed, and are now being moved onto the board. And the game is very short. It's, you know, it's like the Olympics. So we've all been preparing for the Olympics for years and years and years. You go to the Olympics, and in 1 week, the whole, all of the time that you've spent getting competent with what you're doing is blown all in one go. So, you know, it's like you focus it on that single point. Again, back to Teresa's single point focus in the brain scan. So to focus all of your life, so it's like at this point we focus all of our lifetimes collectively at this point to bring them all together to express our unique facet of the universal diamond that we are. How's that?
Well, that was spectacular. And again, it reflects what Dolores Cannon says, that this concept of an entire planetary being making this leap into a new world has never been attempted before. And so it's like a central, it's like the biggest show in the universe. And that's why there's so many different people from different places that she keeps confronting in her treatments or hypnosis that she puts them under, and she's meeting all these different people because it's such a big show. Nobody's ever attempted it before. So, I don't know what's about to happen, but I do know that we should be having fun. You know, people have got to let go of the fear. Fear is crippling. Just let go of it. You know, 99% of what you're worried about never happens anyway. So just let it go. And, take the jump into the water.
Exactly. Go with the river. And the 1%, that's what you can deal with. We're never given anything that we don't have the resources to deal with. I've discovered that more and more. I'm just walking around. Here's another little thing that I've been doing this week. The morning of the full moon. The eclipse. It was the eclipse happened the other day. And of course, being in Britain, it was when our sun was rising that the eclipse was happening. And so the moon was on the other side of the earth, which is where you guys are. And so I never saw any of it. But I was just kind of standing outside and watching the dawn and looking around at the mess that my garden was in. Because, I moved into this ramshackle cottage a year ago and the weather's been awful. I've been kind of organizing the inside a bit. The weather's been getting good. So I've started to, start to arrange the outside. And it's full of old farmyard junk, old TV tubes, bits of fencing, cans of paint, toxic waste, old broken glass windows. Oh, yes, it's full of crap. It's like, what do you do with this stuff? So, but I've tasked myself. I don't want to get rid of anything, but I want to make really nice things. So, the what I saw, there was a big wooden frame, and it's proved really difficult because it's really, really strong. It's just a piece of, two pieces of 4x2 nailed with some noggins. Anyway, it's like a kind of big ladder. So I thought, and that was just laying down. There was a fireplace around and all these, bits of guttering. And suddenly I thought, if I took this, if I took this, turned that, stood that up, stood this up, strapped that to this, cut this up into bits, use these bits of wood. There was a couple of water tanks as well, 10-gallon containers. And so I thought, this would be cool. I could put the container at the top and have some sort of drip feed and use the guttering to plant plants into. And, I made this thing in a couple of afternoons this week. So I'm having a vertical gardening experiment that uses rainwater and possibly a solar pump. But it drips water down and continuously feeds itself and all that stuff.
So, oh, yeah.
So that's
what a video. Make a video of it. It sounds fascinating.
It's a pity that I don't have a tripod for my mobile phone because I would have done so. I can't do all these things. I've got a few photos. I might do a little YouTube and describe things. But essentially, it's what I had here. Not everybody's going to have the same stuff, but you want to get the idea of the principle. The guttering is a container. If you have some kind of plastic container, you can use it to make a hydroponic system. If you've got bits of old... And indeed, I wasn't using tubing. I had a broken Wi-Fi cable. I don't know if anybody remembers. A few months ago, I had a big situation, and rats had chewed through the cable, through my internet cable.
Oh,
I was completely messed up. That really messed me up because I thought somebody had sabotaged me. But I had rats in the ceiling, and they chewed through the cable, and I had this cable lying around. So I discovered that I could use this cable as a piece of this cable as a siphon. And because it had wires in it, it didn't kind of cascade down. It just kind of dripped. It was just absolutely perfect, like a kind of wick, but made of, you know, this plastic wick. So I've repurposed various things. You know, guttering becomes a planter, and cable becomes a siphon. So, you know, I'm really enjoying this process of making new out of old.
Yeah, and the thing of it is that, well, I found this out a long time ago, but if you need something, like if you're doing a project like this, and you say, oh, gee, I need something to do that, and you just kind of let it go, pretty soon you're going to stumble on something that's going to work. It's like you're led to whatever piece of something that will work for whatever you need. I had a friend of mine whose husband never wanted to go to the hardware store, and he did so many strange things. The one that sticks out is she says to me, I've got a leak in underneath the sink. And so I go over and I take a look at it. When I get under there, instead of seeing the normal piping that, you know, comes down, I forget what they call it, the trap. You know, that trap thing that keeps the gas from coming back.
Yeah, the U-bend, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, instead of it being a regular pipe, he had used a radiator hose from a truck. And I said to her, when Frank did this, what did he say to you? She said, well, he was going to just do it until he got to the hardware store. I said, when was that? And she said, 25 years ago.
Yep. And but the thing is, it's that piece of rubber probably lasted longer than the regular thing that he'd have bought from the hardware store, which is would have deteriorated in 10.
Hey, the next time...
You know, over-engineered.
Yeah, the next time I need one of those things, I'm going to the radiator. I'm going to get a radiator hose.
That's right.
Because this thing, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, and you can get shaped ones. They come in shapes. So
exactly.
You know, you probably have the U.
It had the U. It absolutely matched the U.
Very funny.
It was a truck. I remember it was a truck radiator.
Very funny. Wow. Oh, that's... Yeah. It's been excellent, Nancy. It's really always good to catch up with you, because really we're all students, and
yep.
We're all finding out and just sharing with people instead of waiting for years to write things up. We're sharing it in real time as we find it out, and sharing the transformation that is happening because of the information and the energies that are playing on us as we speak. So in less than an hour's time, in fact in about 40 minutes time, this massive alignment's going to be happening. Hopefully we'll be covering it on Frank's show. If Stephen's really what he says he is, he should be saying something about it. He should be giving a download of some kind that would be appropriate
for
the
energy. It's really interesting, Jay, because just as you said that, I started realizing I was feeling an incredible shift of energy.
Well, then.
It went through my legs. I'm going like, what's the matter? And I realized that there was just this kind of wave of energy. It's still here.
Yeah, well.
I might be in for a ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, this
should
be
fun.
Yeah, ride this. I mean, here's the thing, is that we are expecting this. We knew it was going to happen. And we've been waiting for it, and everybody's been waiting for it, and it's been like one disappointment after another. But I really feel the energy. I mean, everybody's feeling the energies of it, and the peak. I mean, it's like, yes, we're on the brink of World War III. The Constitution is hanging by a thread. The radiation is just about to kill everything in the Pacific. The Corexit has killed everything in the Gulf. You know, we're really in a kind of desperate, overwhelmed, you know, this is like the cliffhanger moment.
Yes, but enough of us are awake and willing to work with the energies to make the difference. We're very close to the 100th monkey syndrome. Very close.
Exactly. And that's the energy of what they used to call the first takers, the people who would buy new technologies and get into the new ideas, was about 6%. And there was, what was it, just as the gap between 6 and 7% was all the difference in the world, as the first takers kind of spread their influence. And people were seeing what they were doing and then started emulating them and getting into what they were doing. So hopefully, and that's what we call a critical mass.
Yes.
It's not the same kind of critical mass as the nuclear power critical mass, but it's the same sort of effect as, you know, there's that number of people. And I think it's very much to do, it goes all the way back to the harmonic field that the fullerene atom, fullerene molecule produces because of the gentle angles. And the angles are like hills rather than mountain peaks that you get in other elements.
And I believe the shungite is, I think of it as a piece of mother's heart. I believe that this is a gift from Gaia. We talked about doing the People's Pyramid Project, and we got into the concept of quantum entanglement. Well, I believe that shungite is the ultimate quantum entanglement, because every time I work with a piece, I realize that no matter what the size of the shungite, the energy coming off it is the same, because we're making a quantum connection to that 1,000 square miles of whatever Gaia is giving to humanity.
You know, I also wonder whether this is actually, you know, on the back of the moon there's these 7 L-shaped black craft.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is the remnant of one of these.
You thought it was a piece of a spaceship from the get-go. And aye. I can't dispute it, but it's like my friend said to me, apparently she's really, really getting into it, and she said to me, well, doesn't it work that the shungite will be whatever you think it is? And I said, yeah, that's about the way it is. And so even though I initially went to the same concept of being something from outside that came and embedded itself into the crust of Earth, I almost instantaneously decided, no, that didn't feel right, that I thought this was something that was coming up from the mantle, something special, something unique, something that is the basis for how it all began, some kind of a prehistoric start the life cycle particles.
You know, people expect the start of something to be a really big kind of da-da-da-da-da, big ceremony. Often, it's a feeling of disillusionment, which to me is the best feeling in the world, and to a lot of people, it's the worst feeling in the world. And it's the thing that people avoid feeling and do all that they can to avoid feeling disillusionment. But I believe
it's giving them total freedom. You realize that disillusionment is disillusionment, but disillusionment gives you total freedom to create whatever you need to create.
It means you have no illusions,
right?
You have no illusions, and therefore you're free. Absolutely, Nancy. Thank you. Yes. So, I think with that, we should leave our audience in a state of suspense as to what would they have spoken about next.
And us too.
Indeed. And this has been Ever Beyond, and it's been a marvelous day. I've really enjoyed today. I'm amazed. I got up at 7 o'clock this morning. It's now, it's coming up to 1 o'clock in the morning, and I've got another 5 hours to go, so we'll see how that goes. Now, what was I going to put on? This is a nice little song. I'll put on some Van Morrison after that, and then we'll be up to Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank group. So,
everybody have a great Grand Cross. We'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side, and well, we'll see you. Don't go away. We'll be doing something, I hope, with the Grand Cross in half an hour's time. This is Ever Beyond. Thank you very much. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. beyond.